everybody. Welcome to our show. I'm Liz.
And I'm Taylor. This is a podcast for and about the town we love.
And now we're talking Darien.
Hello and welcome. Today is March 6th, 2024, and we are back.
We're back.
Oh my gosh, it's been a while.
The funny part is I wonder if any of our listeners are like, well, were you gone?
But we so true.
But technically, I think we last recorded in the fall. Like it was like November.
Yeah, we tried to come back in the fall, then we took another break, and now we're back, but really committed to 2024.
Yeah, we are committed to 2024, bringing back a more regular schedule, a more just consistent recording basis. So we have already three episodes coming at you this spring, and then a whole lineup following that. So it's going to be.
And you've been busy in the interim with at least some promotional type activities.
Yeah. I'm going to try. I don't know. We got a new social media marketing manager, so that will help things along too. Oh,
fantastic.
But today we thought we'd start off the season with one of Darien's bloodlines.
Yes. For anyone who has ever stepped foot on the Darien High School athletic fields, I think you're well aware of just how fabulous Darien's support of athletics is. Many people have come into town to visit us and said, this looks like a college campus or a private school.
Right.
It's exceptional. And, you know, we learned through our conversation tonight that that is really in very large part due to the generosity of our community through the Darien Athletic Foundation. Separately, if you've ever watched the Turkey Bowl, for instance, streamed live on Thanksgiving from your lawn chair in Florida, that's thanks to Darien Athletic Foundation's DAF Media arm. And this group has just done so much for our kids and our families. I'm so glad that we got a chance to talk to them right before they get busy again with lacrosse season.
Right, I know. So moving forward, when you hear DAF, it means Darien Athletic Foundation. And you can hear right now what these guys do and what, like, literally the life they've brought to Darien, not only on our athletics, but they are now covering a lot more than that. So you'll hear from them. So we got two guests tonight to represent.
Yes. We had Jen Montanaro, the president of Darien Athletic Foundation, and Bruce Ferguson, the vice president of media and one of the heads of the media arm. They were fantastic and spent time with us, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah, me too. Oh my gosh, by the way, Taylor, I forgot to tell you, when you said I've been doing promotional stuff in the meantime, I totally forgot this. One of the funny things I did for the podcast is, like, a couple weeks ago, First Congregational Church in town, I don't know if you know First Congregational,
totally,
by Stop and Shop, they have this annual men's cook-off. It's like the most fabulous event, and they somehow suckered me into being one of the judges.
Come on.
Like, as if I know what I'm talking about.
Why didn't they call me? I'm hungry.
What did they cook? I got to tell you, it was some of the best food I've had in my life. There was about 30 guys there all standing around, like, in front of these, displays. It served me up, like, stuffed oysters, all different kinds of barbecues and tacos and slider sandwiches. It was amazing. I mean, I probably gained 5 pounds overnight, but it was so worth it. It was one of the most fun events. So this is what our podcast has been doing when we're not recording.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That sounds like a blast.
I know. All right. Well, back to it. Let's bring these guys DAF Media.
Okay.
Here we go. DAF.
Jen, Bruce, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we're so, so grateful. I mean, honestly, I want to start with how grateful we are for a lot of things that you guys are responsible for. I mean, for anybody that has been to the high school who has had an athlete or even just visited the campus, you're blown away. And, you know, I'm learning that you have a lot to do with that. Not only the physical facilities, but now the ability for parents and friends and family to watch their kids play sports or graduate. I mean, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And I'd love to know more about how it got started.
Well, thanks for having us. I'm Jen Montanaro. I'm the president of the Darien Athletic Foundation. I am a member since 2012 when we first started. And sitting next to me is Bruce Ferguson.
Yes, and I'm Bruce Ferguson. I'm vice president of Darien Athletic Foundation and with a big focus on our media.
Your names alone, by the way, if people haven't heard your names yet in town, I mean, hello, we should repeat those because people should know Bruce and Jen.
Well,
you're
making magic here.
But I do want to talk about the difference between those two organizations or the similarities, right? Darien Athletic Foundation is a very big deal on its own, and DAF Media, as people refer to it, is also a very big deal and, part of the same organization. Can you tell us about how DAF got started and then how DAF Media fits in?
Sure, happy to. Darien Athletic Foundation, we call DAF, not to be confused with Deaf Media, of course, which most people do, was started back in 2012. We had a tsunami of children in Darien school systems. We had an 80% increase in school enrollment. And Darien...
Wait, what was happening at the time? I'm missing context.
No one really knows why folks were coming out of... I mean, Darien was rated very high in terms of like our high schools and our school system. So I think people were pulling their kids out of private school. Nobody really knows why, but there was an 80% increase since the 90s. So imagine what that does to the enrollment, right?
Wow.
I think also with the financial...
The bubble
right. meltdown.
Yeah.
Some people took their kids out of private school. More came back to public. I'm not exactly sure.
Nobody really knows, but there, you know, if you look at enrollment, you know, statistics in the history of it, there was a huge increase. And, you know, 36% of our population in Darien was under the age of 18, which is enormous.
Wow.
In 2010, you're talking.
Yeah, back in like 2012.
2012, okay.
Right. So, because we were trying to compile all the statistics to understand why we had an influx of kids, why were our fields so crowded, et cetera, you know? And how this came to be is, you know, we realized that we were a sports crazy town in Darien, but we didn't know how much of a sports crazy town. So, you know, you think of some of your bigger sports things like Darien youth field hockey, Darien youth lacrosse. We've got the baseball. And some of these statistics will blow you away. DY Lacs had the second largest, you know, participation in U.S. lacrosse. So,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, when we interviewed them too. Aren't they the biggest in the country now?
I thought they were the biggest, but...
We were second in U.S. lacrosse at the time, we were establishing this back then, right? DJFL, largest in Fairfield County. That's
Darien Junior Football League. Okay.
Right, right. Darien Little League was the largest in the Eastern region.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yes. Nobody ever really believed that stat. But I promise you.
And then, of course, you had kids that played in... All
sports,
leagues.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So
that still existed.
And what about soccer? I'm sure soccer was huge.
Yeah.
Yes, soccer was very huge. It was 2,750 registrants. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, where are these kids playing? I mean, think about our fields. We don't have that many, right? We're not a town with, you know, multiple fields. Most of them are privately owned. So,
and this is before we had Chelsea Piers. This is before maybe the Sono House. I don't know. Like, there wasn't a lot of... Right, access around, even
right.
around
Sono,
the area.
Right. Sono was built right around that time, okay.
Right.
Not a lot of turf, probably. All grass?
No, we had mostly grass.
Almost exclusively grass, yeah. And almost exclusively controlled by the...
Board of Ed?
The school system, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So who's looking around thinking there's an opportunity here?
Well, so really what happened was, like, at that time, I was part of the Darien Youth Lacrosse. I was on the board there. And I was trying to run the girls' program. And I would have third and fourth graders on one field. I had, at one point, 225 little girls on one field with 60 volunteer coaches.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine on a Friday night trying to move these girls around? And that's the only field that we had. So, you know, we would be bumped off if there was a high school event, et cetera. But so could you imagine, like, trying to rally these kids, move them around? And then, you know, this is just the one particular girls program, right? So... There's the boys. And then
of course the real thing that was the elephant in the room was that the weather affected when you could use the fields, because all of these organizations that we're talking about leased the fields from the town, from the Board of Ed. And so because those assets need to be preserved, they close them. And because if you play on a grass field when it's all wet
all
and muddy,
up.
It gets torn up, and then they'll have to eventually close the field. So there was, as you know, Jen has some numbers, I think, on...
Yeah, I mean, usually when you use a grass field, you take it off, you know, you make it unplayable for a season to kind of have it regenerate, et cetera. So in one statistics we pulled up was that one out of every four youth sports program games were canceled. One out of four.
What year, 2012?
Yeah, in 2012. And there were 2,000 sports events, both youth and high
Holy
school, that were canceled
cow.
Due to unplayable fields and weather conditions. So could you, I mean...
Because they would close the fields at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as any raindrops fell, you just got an email that said, you know, lacrosse is canceled or, you know, field hockey's canceled.
Right. I mean...
We know how Darien loves its sports. So.
Right. And you know, they don't generally make them up for youth sports. And it's a short season to begin with. And
there's limited field space.
Limited
still.
Field space. Kids get disappointed. I mean, there's money involved, et cetera. So, you know, so what ended up happening was, you know... The heads of all the different youth groups sort of got together back in October of 2012. I should probably tell you their names because they are our town changers, I believe. Oh. You know, we had a bunch of guys that got together at the Piedmont Club, right? Because there's a shortage of fields.
The Piedmont Club, good shout out right there. Yeah. We'll talk about that one day. Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. You should be interviewing them.
We should be. Okay.
Yeah, Tommy Seiler, John Cini, Jim Book, Pete Graham, Mo and Kevin Minicus, Tommy Mercine, Kevin Waldron, Mitch Ross, Joe Avancic. They get together at the Piedmont. Everybody wants the same thing. Shortage of fields, what are we going to do? Everyone says, let's turf, not really having any sort of direction. But they did know that they needed to find the right people to make this happen and figure out how we can fundraise, because the reality is we weren't going to go to the town, because the town, they didn't have the money. The Board of Ed didn't have the money. We wanted to keep this outside of that and make this strictly participation from the community, because it really does affect our community. So these guys got together, and then...
And who do you call?
You call Mark Maybell. Who you call?
Mark. Oh, man. This is the name we've heard floated around town. The infamous
Mark Maybell.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Infamous is the right word.
Brilliant. Tell us about him.
And kind, generous. I've heard this guy is just wonderful.
Talented. Absolutely talented. He's a mastermind really behind it all. And, you know, I wish I had a boss like him when I was, you know, growing up and learning, because I've learned so much from him. He's kind, he's patient, he's thoughtful, he's strong, and he gets things done, and he gets the right people.
Super smart.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys called up Mark, someone knew Mark Maybell.
So someone
you guys
knew
called
Mark Maybell. He's trying to wrangle enough people. You know, when these guys got together, I wasn't involved then, nor was Bruce. They wanted a couple of things when they decided they wanted to put together a board. They did not want anybody that was a head of a youth sports group. So not the president of DYLX, not the president. They didn't want to have those folks involved, just because, you know, you wanted to keep it very neutral and equal. So I think what he did, he was very smart. And
smart?
He,
it's like the founding fathers, you know what I mean? Thoughtfulness of it all.
He was very thoughtful in who he really wanted to put on this board, because everyone brought something different. You know, Tommy Seiler, he knew everything about turf fields that you could possibly know. You know,
because he had just built Sono Fieldhouse. Yeah. Oh. So he had just done this.
Right.
Mark the chairman? Did he take that
No,
role?
That was Tom Seiler.
Oh, okay. Tom so what Seiler was Mark's was,
no,
job?
No, Mark was, when we first started Darren Athletic Foundation, he put himself as treasurer.
Oh, how funny.
So, and Mark, Mark was a finance guy.
Yeah.
And he had just exited from a situation where he worked. I think he had sold a company or company something.
Good,
but he had some time on his hands, and he wanted to dig in deep.
Give
so
back.
What That's were some cool. of the other specialties these guys brought? Let's see, the guy who knew turf.
Right. So Mark's finance, Pete Graham, he had kids in the
system,
okay. You know, football, etc. I remember being at a Board of Education meeting. I think I was like one of the co-chairs of CDSP. And it was Jim Book who brought Pete Graham in and tapped me on the shoulder. I think it was budget season, and said, Jenny, I need you to come out here and meet somebody and introduce me to Pete Graham. And I got suckered in. And, I should have been sitting on my hands, but I didn't. I said, okay, I'll do it. I mean, I love the cause, because honestly, I was really intimately involved with DYLX, and I saw how upsetting it was to the kids.
Sure.
And be kicking off fields, et cetera. So,
but from, you know, really from there, a master plan was created, and it really started to move fast.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the goal originally?
Originally, we got our board a short board together. We got people who knew money, people who knew people to make donations, et cetera, although we didn't ask for anything. But we just wanted to get the right folks. And it was called the Sunny Day Project. And that was what we originally started out with. Make every day a sunny day.
That's
that
great.
Was it. And I have a postcard to prove it still. And it was a Sunny Day Project. And it was basically turfing fields. But, you know, we learned that it's just not so easy to go into somebody else's backyard and say, hey, we want to help you and fix up your backyard, because that's ultimately what we were doing. Because,
sure.
Right, it's a Board of Ed fields.
And that bears mention also is, you know, because Darien Athletic Foundation, we haven't just raised money and donated it to the town.
No.
It's very much different than that. I mean, Jane, you want to...
Yeah, what we do is, we're almost like a construction company per se. Like, so what we do is we raise the money, we hire all of the workers that are going to do it. We basically oversee every aspect of the build of whatever the infrastructure a portion that we're doing. And once we get their CO, it's complete, et cetera.
Well, we present the concept of the, and that the, upon completion, it will be gifted to the town.
Right. And you're then presenting vote. To the town, Bruce?
Yes. Okay. So you go to the town and you say, okay, here is a concept. Well, we would like to
first you go to the board.
Do I mean, this.
The hoops to jump through for everything. You would think giving away money would be really easy. Yeah. It's not easy at all. There are so many steps in order to do that. And we all became experts at this. And it's a lot of steps for each specific thing.
So let's give examples of what you've done, by the way, of what these projects would have been.
So one of the first things we did is we thought, let's get our feet wet with this because the turf fields are going to be a little bit bigger of an animal than we thought. And it was the video scoreboard. And that was the first thing that we wanted to gift. And of course, we have to present this idea and give a proposal to the
Board of Ed, probably.
First to the superintendent. The superintendent has to bring it forward to the Board of Education.
Right.
They have to agree to let us move forward with the preliminary. Then it goes through the litany.
You have to be put on the agenda.
Yes, of course. Yes. We're so familiar with this Board of Ed.
Planning and zoning probably had a piece of that too, right?
So then we have to go to planning and zoning and then find out what we need to present to them. And then from planning and zoning, that might have to go to the ARB, all the subcommittees, right? All the different, just kind of.
And the Board of Selectmen's got to sign off on it, right?
And the RTM.
Yeah. RTM. And then what facility? Okay, whatever. Yes. So yeah, now we're lost in the weeds of the town. Right.
But right. In defense of the town and the process, like there, once you've been gifted something like that, you have to maintain it. So there is an ongoing cost that the town has to bear. So it makes sense that they're involved. And of course,
there's a lot of checks and balances.
Right. Yeah. Yes. If it's of a town asset, but this was the Board of Education asset. And rest assured, every time we did present something, we had to also present what the ongoing upkeep and the cost would be. So
right.
That was all vetted out. But that process happened for every gift of a donation that we had given. And, you know, it took a lot of years.
Do you guys gift the maintenance of these assets as well?
No, typically not.
Okay.
No, but for instance, the cross country path that we did do, we had to maintain the invasives for 3 years post construction.
Is that the Diller?
Yes, that's a Diller property that runs
path. Yeah, right, that runs around the high school.
Yeah,
the cross country path. Right. That's one. It's a path. Explain that so people might not know this.
I mean, prior to that, you couldn't have a home cross country meet at Darien High School because there was no path.
Right.
So you create a path essentially around the high school, kind of through the woods.
Right? Yeah. Yes. And the kids, I mean, you probably remember seeing the team run down Middlesex Road and Hollow Tree, you know, as they were looping.
Yeah. I kind of miss those kids. That was inspiring.
Yeah. Some of them are still out there. Okay. I see them out there. Yeah.
I saw them shirtless running past the fire department the other morning in the snow.
That's deflating for me. I'm like, oh man, the youth is gone. Okay.
Yeah. So now there's like a
1.1
mile loop around the high school, which is partly a gift from the family, the Diller family, right?
The Diller family.
The property. Yep. You guys did the path. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it is. It turned out really nice. And that was a really nice collaboration between the town, because they own the Diller property. Parks and Recreation has custody of that, and the Board of Education. So that was great collaboration, because you don't often get to do things like that. And it worked out really well.
The cross-country track. We talked about the original was a scoreboard. What's the next one, Bruce?
The next one was the pavilion. So there was no...
I didn't know you guys were pavilion.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So, well, you know, we built it, pavilion. Obviously, with the intent to fit right in with the architecture and style of the school. Mm-hmm. So, but there was no snack bar. There were no
bathrooms,
flushing bathrooms. You know, there were, after we built that beautiful high school, there were porta potties outside of the, track.
Is it a silly question for me to ask, like how we build, I don't even know what the cost of the high school, that was before my time, how we build this wonderful high school, but we leave that part out in a sports crazed town? How did that happen?
Value engineering,
yes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Jinx.
All right, so pavilion and then...
So we did the pavilion, which was, that's really, and then we...
Snack bar. Mostly, you know, just to hit the high level, it's snack bar and bathrooms. And then after that came center oval.
Right. So then we went for the fields.
Right.
Which
right.
wasn't,
Talk
you know,
about that project. That sounds involved.
It was really involved.
Huge.
And it was because, you know, there was a lot of controversy at the time, I think, about artificial turf versus natural grass, et cetera.
Give us a date on flooding. This.
So I think we did this in 2015. So what our concept was to sort of meet with some of the coaches and do a little bit of a switching. So there, we had that lower oval that was like an odd-shaped pie that wasn't regulation for absolutely anything, and it was always in poor condition. So we worked with the softball coach and asked if we could move the JV softball down on that pie-shaped lower oval as part of our turfing and fixing the center oval to elongate it, widen it, as Bruce talked earlier, make it regulation, and then the upper oval as well. So while we were doing the two fields and putting artificial turf on those, we then
new turf field.
Yeah, new turf field.
Added another. So that was the third turf field in town, the upper.
Yeah.
Went from grass to turf.
The first being the varsity football field or the stadium field?
The first was the,
there were two existing already. So what we did is
the center oval was turf.
Yeah, it was already turf, but we just elongated it and made it wider and regulation size. So we redid that one.
It's amazing. It was originally built not regulation size.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you for fixing it.
Yeah. I think what's important to note though about the turf fields is that, you know, we met with every single coach of, you know, all the different sports. You know, everybody wants to have their own specific cut in the turf and their lines a certain way. But, you know, everything we did it so it was playable for all the different sports, both male and female. You know, it was multi-sport. So that was really important because we have so many people using the fields.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pause a second. What is that? Okay. By the way, you guys, you guys hear that the crackling in the background? That's fire. Taylor, thank you for making a fire for us on this March night.
It was my pleasure.
Going back to why we need you guys, the weather of New England. This is the Sunny Day Project.
Well, could you imagine? Like the fields would not be in use for days. If we didn't have the turf fields there.
If you look at the context, like anyone, when people listen, you know, people listen to this podcast all different times, so they won't understand this, but you should know the time we're recording this, it has been raining. It's been raining for days, and it rains like the last few weekends. So if this existed, all the sports would be stopped. Yeah. Right. Lacrosse would not be happening.
We're at the transition point right between, you know, winter sports and spring, so everybody's out trying to get preseason practice and things like that. So,
yeah, we're on the eve of your big season, right? Lacrosse, when you guys tape and tape and tape and tape and tape.
Yeah, well, we do all of those. We do all of those sports, but we do a lot of football and we do a lot of lacrosse.
Yeah, is it time to transit? First of all, before we move on to DAC Media, so how much money did you guys have to raise and in what period of time to get all that done?
So we didn't necessarily fundraise. And I think it's important to note that how this started with our Sunny Day Project, we started holding meetings, one-on-one meetings with folks that we knew were passionate, were concerned about what was going on in the town. And we just held informational meetings. Started out with a couple of slides. Lo and behold, this ended up becoming like a crowdsourced campaign, and it became like a master plan rather than just the fields. That's why all these other things sort of got looped in, the cross-country path, the lights, sound system, like all these things got added to this master plan, because every time we had a meeting with somebody, and lights were never part of it, they would mention the lights. And that was so controversial. We thought it was so controversial. It was a 25-year, you know, they've been trying to have this done. You know, I could still hear Mark Mabel, and you know, saying, like, we thought this was controversial, but everybody really wants it. And so that sort of became part of our master plan. So between Mark, Pete, myself, a few other people.
Putting lights on the stadium football field, or stadium field.
Right, right. They held over 400 one-on-one meetings with community members in town. We never asked them for money. You know, we just said, listen, this is what we're looking for. This is how we think we might recognize any sort of donation. And we told them about the wall. And, you know, lo and behold. Like
the wall being?
The wall down by the pavilion.
At the pavilion.
Yes, there's that big granite
for the
wall.
The charter members of Darien Athletic Foundation are recognized on that wall.
Yeah, I've seen the names. It's
with
really nice
donation. I think it was $25,000 was the donation level to get on the wall. So I mean, it's really stunning to think how many. There's a lot of names on that wall, and I think it just shows you that how compelling the presentation was, and really where we were at that point in time in Darien with facilities, and knowing that budget cuts were coming from Hartford. We were getting, you know, less money from the state than we were. We were in a special ed crisis at the time. There was a lot of things that were happening. So money was not going to go to turfing and fields at anytime soon at that moment.
It definitely speaks to the power of your vision, your presentation, and the generosity of this community. I mean, I love it. We've had this conversation a few times, it seems like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, how this community has supported.
This is why we started the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, think the people in Darien are really amazing. I mean, they're smart, they're giving, they're kind. We had over 1,100 people make donations. I mean, that's a lot. And we really only did a sort of fundraising for a very abbreviated part of time, like 4 to 5 years. And with that, we raised over $9 million. So,
holy smokes.
Yeah, it was fast. It was, you know, it was quick. It was a quick hit because people were really passionate about it.
It resonated,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
You know, people just, like, there's the time that you have with your kids being young, whether they're in, you know, K through 2 soccer, up to high school. It seems like it's such a daunting time, but once your kids are out of it, it happens so fast. Mm. You cannot believe it. And you look back and say, wait a second, how did that happen? So, you know, when your kids are in the throes of it, you don't even realize it. And you get caught up in that, you know, okay, I want to make it great for them. How do we do this as, you know, a community? So it was tremendous.
So, yeah, we started to have some success with the fundraising. And then the first few projects, as much effort as they were to get approval for, we got the approval and we won the trust and support of the Board of Ed and the superintendent and the town.
That's awesome.
Because we really did a good job designing the projects. We did a good job on executing and then turned the finished product over after the CO. So the relationship that we formed with the town
and the Board of Education and the administration in particular, we don't, because like the running path, for instance, there were some issues with that. The minute we had that thing done, I think we had like a hurricane or something, and a lot of it washed away because it hadn't really been, you know, settled and used enough. We don't just walk away from the asset. We just don't do it. We're going to go back. We're going to fix it. We're going to make it right until it's right. Until, you know, even though we've turned it over. So,
but you're still not fundraising though, right? You're still working on that initial.
We've been on hiatus for fundraising really since 2018, because
that's amazing.
Raising $10 million in 5 years, we felt like, you know, we've done a lot. We've accomplished a lot. Let's take a rest. Let's give the donors a rest. You know, if we were to keep trying to go, we felt like there could be some
donor fatigue. And
I just want to send a shout out specifically to all the people that donated to that project and all the things you built. Thank you for your vision and to the group that executed so beautifully that you had the trust of the town. Like, good job by Mark putting that group together.
Yeah.
I think what's also important to note is that the folks that we hired, like the local construction type, because they're the backbone, like from our architect, Neil Houck, who's here local in Darien, you know, Bothwell Construction, he helped us a lot, Giswaldi Construction.
Yeah.
They're all local people. Their kids went to the schools. They have like a vested interest in making sure like this is done right and their names are behind it. So that also helped a lot, you know.
I love
definitely
it.
A dream team of contractors that we had working on it. And then I think it definitely became easier as the time came to do the Stadium East project, which is the turf behind the stadium. It was just so much easier because we had built that trust and working relationship with the people who make those decisions in town. And then when the lights came along and things like that, and then finally, then DAF Media came along
come along?
So the whole COVID thing, the last thing that we built was the cross country path. We thought that was going to be one of our first things. And that was one of the first things we pitched to the Board of Ed, but we didn't know how challenging that was actually going to be. So that got backburned. And that was the last thing that we were able to finish during COVID, which actually was a little bit serendipitous because when that hit, you know, parents couldn't really go to the games and watch their kids, correct? So. Yeah. You know, here we are.
There was a time when you could only send one person per child or something.
You're right.
In an outdoor environment. It's amazing that we lived through this.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we look back on that. But now, you know, here we are. What an opportunity for Bruce and his knowledge and him with DAF Media. That sort of catapulted us, even though we were already in place, I think.
But. Oh, yeah. No, the groundwork had been laid by Mark Maybell with his passion for taking still photographs.
Yes.
I mean, he had a library of 40,000 or something photos that are on our website that are available for high resolution free download that people can take and get printed at Walgreens or that Costco or Subshots or you know.
So bring us back here. This is all of DAF is, and you just talked a little bit ago, Jen, about like how fast and precious this time is. And as you said that, I was thinking what DAF Media is, this branch of Darien Athletic Foundation, you guys are making those memories, just a lifetime. You're making lifetime memories by capturing them via photography and allowing people far and wide to be able to watch their kids. It's a dream opportunity. So in walks you, Bruce, here. What year is this?
That was, 2016 is okay. When I kind of really
finally said yes.
Came in. So 2016 was really when I started to figure out the video scoreboard and the press box and get all that figured out. And then
was there a demand or people like what was the thought behind this, the idea?
I really have to give the credit to Mark Maybell. He was, as I said, passionate about still photography. Okay. He felt that there was,
so he took all those pictures. He must have help now.
Now we have Catherine Calderwood
And Lee Robbins
helped us also.
So wow. Everybody's a the only person that is paid at DAF is the one guy who now runs DAF Media for us is Damian Andrew. And we don't have an executive director.
And he's brilliant, right?
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, quality he's producing.
Yeah.
People probably don't know what we're talking about, though, because as a young mom, like when you're till your kids are in the system, you don't realize what we're even talking about here.
Yeah. It's totally
give
true.
Give context.
Totally.
What are we seeing? Definitely
an issue for us. I mean, I think we're as we've just been talking about for the last half hour. I mean, Darien Athletic Foundation. I don't think the young people in town even know about Darien Athletic Foundation and that we raised almost $10 million and did all these projects. I think when you move to town and you bring your kids up to the high school or to, a Friday night game, that the lights were paid for by donations from residents that dug deeply into their pockets to make this stuff happen. I think most young people probably think that, wow, I moved to a great town that spends their tax money really well. So, I mean, and we have a great history of public-private partnerships in town. I was involved a lot with the Darien Library, and that's another very successful example of a public-private partnership.
And the community fund too. We had on here with we brought on Ward Glassmeyer.
Yeah,
and same idea, public private relationships.
Yeah, and so it's those folks. So that Ward is also on our board, and
he's on the Darien Foundation.
The committee. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Darien Foundation. Ward chairs that.
Don't be mad at me for messing that. See, there's so many.
There's so many.
The community fund's great too.
You're right.
Shame on
me.
Yeah, the community. There is a community fund.
But yeah, so it really does go back to Mark Maybell in 2016 saying to me, Bruce, you're pretty techie. What do you think there's a play we could come up with for video? And I didn't have any real history in video, but I am a techie. And so I said, well, let me look at it. And I started playing around with things and decided to pilot live streaming. I mean, we looked at social media, doing mashups, doing hype videos, things like that. I was like, they're fun, but is there really gonna, are we really gonna move the needle there? And other people are doing it. And I said, a lot of people, you can't get to your kid's game. There's grandma, there's grandpa, there's aunts and uncles, and there's the players of on teams themselves that want to watch something back. There's kids that are coming up through the ranks that want to play on those teams when they get to high school.
Sure.
There's this vast audience. So I started piloting. My son was playing on the lacrosse team, the boys lacrosse team. So I started filming some of those games, and I had done some of that for DJFL. I think that's one of the reasons Mark asked me. But
DJFL, Darien Junior Football League.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
A lot of acronyms.
So I was kind of like a one-arm paper hanger. I got a laptop. I did a lot of research.
I was going to ask, did you just buy your own equipment? Do you have like some handheld little video?
No, again, back to Mark. Mark gave me a MacBook, like a really beefy MacBook Pro. And I researched some software, and we had a camera that we had bought for the high school for that was, you know, for the press box to be able to show stuff up on the video board. So I borrowed that camera, got a headset with a microphone on it, and started, you know, filming games and streaming them out. The first game I ever did was up at Niskayuna at Union College. And it was like we were shot out of a cannon. I mean, we had an instant audience. You wouldn't believe it. Well, nobody would drive. You know, people weren't driving that far. And it was the first game of the season. And so it was really funny because I was calling, you know, there were a few kids named Jack and there were a few kids named Ryan. And one of them was the goalie and one of them was like a attackman. And I said, oh, you know.
Oh, so you're announcing too.
Yeah, that's why I said I was like a one-on. I was doing camera. I was announcing and I was updating the score.
And he was the water boy.
So
equipment boy.
Yeah, I was doing it all. And so I did that for the spring of 2017. I probably did like, I don't know what, 6 or 7 games. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And you have a real job, which is like, I mean,
and a family.
Yeah.
And
a family.
Wife and kids. Four kids.
I definitely was joking with my wife. I was like, if I worked for somebody, I would definitely have been fired this spring. So, yeah, I was lucky to be self-employed at that point. But
you know, the big thing about DAF, Darren Athletic Foundation, the media group.
DAF Media.
DAF Media is the kid involvement.
Yes.
Where did this spur? And explain this, because this is huge. Once again, we have basically a kid-operated media company. Am I saying that right? Am I over-exaggerating?
No, broadcast media.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. When my son played college lacrosse, and when we were going and talking to coaches, I asked one of the coaches if they wanted any full game film, and the coach said to me, he goes, oh no, I don't need any film. He's like, yeah, like Darien has its own TV station.
We sit and watch
lacrosse games all spring. We see New Canaan, we see Greenwich, we see Staples, we see, you know, everybody. So I kind of got a laugh out of that one, but yeah, so we started it, and you know, I did that, and then we had our board meeting in June, and everyone said, well, you know, this is great, we got to do this, you know, we got to make this a real thing. And I said, well, I can tell you for sure it's a lot of work, and if we want to do a good job, which I hadn't done a good job, I mean, you can still see some of those games from they're still on our YouTube channel. So I never announced again after that. You know, I was like, I am not a good announcer. And but
sure, you're underselling
yourself. But I'm good behind the scenes with the technology and stuff like that. So I made this proposal to the board and said, you know, we should do this, but we're going to have to put some money behind it, because we're going to have to hire somebody. And it's not just going to be like an administrative person. We have to hire like a technical advisor that really knows what they're doing, and that this is journalism. This is broadcast media. And if we want to do it well, and which is what I wanted to do, I didn't want it to just be a one camera thing and have some kid on the mic saying, oh, you know, he just owned that guy. You know, like that wasn't what we were looking
for. You slay. Yeah.
Nice. So, you know, we're like, let's teach journalism. Let's teach broadcast media. Let's have good graphics. Let's have instant replay. Let's broadcast at a high quality with high quality equipment. And let's do it well. And so the board agreed, and then at some point I felt like maybe we shouldn't go it alone. We're biting off quite a bit here. So
because once you start, you know, the expectation is you're going to keep going and it's going to get better. It'll be more frequent, right? And there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So
and you're on the board, right, Jen? Yeah. And so you're earmarking this money that's starting as like, you know, probably $1,000, now it's quickly up to $500,000.
Yeah.
Now far beyond.
Yeah, so I mean, we were just talking about Ward Glassmeyer, and he and I are old friends, and so I called Ward and said, hey, I got an idea I want to run past you.
And bring your checkbook.
And so we talked about it. And so Ward was gracious enough to give us an invitation to come see the Darien Foundation and talk it, talk about this idea of creating a basically a PBS of Darien, mm-hmm. to date myself a little bit. You know, we wanted it to be broadcast. We didn't want to have a pay gate. We didn't want to necessarily serve advertisements and things like that. So, so we went and said, hey, Darien Foundation, would you be interested in the concept of joint venturing with us and going 50-50 on the bills? Because we really want to set the bar before we go out and try to get partnerships, you know, kind of like the PBS model, like Sesame Street. I remember when I was a kid, it was, you know, brought to you by the Helena Rubinstein Foundation, right? And so like we do want to get to, and we're just at the stage 5 years later where we're actually embarking on that process of bringing other money other than the Darien Athletic Foundation and the Darien Foundation, who have been splitting the bill as joint venturers for the last 5 years, 6 years.
Well, does that lead to, like, I know you guys have now branched out of sports, right? Talk about what you guys cover now.
We also cover some community events because we're not necessarily just sports driven, right? So like the Memorial Day Parade, the Global Speaker Series at the DCA.
Yes.
We did a few public service announcements. Remember, I don't forget what those were for. Those are...
Well, we did a lot. We did a lot with COVID.
With COVID, right, for the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did those.
Oh, we needed graduation. You talked about
graduations.
Yeah. And then we're trying to branch. I mean, we're trying to do more. The thing is that with one... So back to the story of kind of the foundation for a second. We... At that board meeting, I said, well, we need to hire one person. But the thing is, it's going to take about 6 or 8 people per broadcast. You need 2 camera people. You need a technical director to switch cameras. You need an instant replay operator to take the replays and decide which one's going to go up and cue it. You need a statistician. You need a graphics operator to pop up, you know, all the different things. So I said, we can't afford that. And so one of the things that popped into my mind, I said, you know, this organization, what we're talking about, really, it wants to be like Post 53. It needs to be a volunteer student organization that's a club where we can provide something great to these students and they can provide something great to the community. So
brilliant.
And
just
get
brilliant.
So much out of the experience too. I mean, they're learning so much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that for me is the greatest part of the whole thing, is that it's like a double bounce, is that, you know, we're providing a safe, fun opportunity for kids after school to get involved with. We're, you know, teaching them really important lifelong learning type things. It's experiential learning. Everything they're doing, you know, they're interviewing a coach on the sideline or after a game as a peer, you know, and so their confidence, you can just see as they move through the organization, they're just getting more mature, and it's that for me has been the real highlight of the whole thing.
Right, to see them come in as a freshman, maybe, because most of them stay the 4 years. They come in as a freshman, they're shy, they want to stay behind the camera. Maybe they'll, you know, work on some equipment. They don't, you know, they'll move a camera around, but they don't want any sort of action in terms of getting behind a mic, etc. But then the ones that have a true interest, they tend to make themselves known and they show a leadership and they really want to do the homework and learn. And, you know, not every kid is going to wants to be on a sports team, right? So this is their team, right? So they've got their own swag. We treat them just like they're a team. They have pasta dinners. And, you know, and we have like a end of the season picnic and, you know,
field trips.
Is
there like 50 of them? Is that right?
About 60.
About
yeah.
60 now.
There's 60 on the roster. There's not 60 that are working all the time. I mean, it's, you get kids that are in season.
Yeah.
So like we get, like a football player will be working on DAF Media this spring, or football players.
Right, that makes
sense.
Mm-hmm. Did they get any like school credit for it?
No. Okay. I did broach that once, and we're not there yet.
Is it actually a club, or is it just like an extracurricular, or a, what do you? What
it's,
do
you know, it's hard
it's
to define.
It's not a school club, but it's a town club. So you don't have to go to Darien High School to participate in Darien in DAF Media. I mean, you could go to Brunswick, you could go to GFA. It's
so how do you get involved if you're interested, somebody listening?
Well, you can send an email to media@darianaf.com. That's probably the best way.
media@darianaf.com.
And there's a form that you can fill out on our website too, which is dafmedia.org.
Okay.
So there's, you know, you can type, put your name and your graduation year, and it will get to Damien and he'll reach out to you.
Tell us more about Damien and his background.
Damien,
the one hired employee.
I mean, can't say enough good things about Damien. I mean, he's basically like the best hire you could have ever had.
He's like a big deal, right? I read he like won an Emmy.
Yes.
Like, holy smokes.
He's won two. Yeah, he's won two Emmys. And Barry Cronin gave us Damien's name because we were kind of having a casting call among board members and everybody saying, who do we know that might be good for this job? So Barry threw Damien's name in and said, my family knows this guy, Damien. He works at Cablevision and he is out of the Norwalk office and he's the sports anchor and director for Fairfield County.
Boom.
So,
so Damien, how much is he? Yeah, lock him in.
Damien thought, well, the good news for us was that Altice had just bought Cablevision. So, you know, the Dolan family, it was kind of this closely held public company, right? For years. And so there was a lot of uncertainty about budgets and who was going to survive mm-hmm. at Cablevision after Altice came in. And so we went to Damien and said, hey, this is what we want to do. I think he thought we were crazy. But he ultimately took the job and spent a lot of time at my house around the table learning stuff as we learned together, really. But
I'm really questioning what Daf Media has done to your marriage. This is fascinating here.
I know. He's got the nicest wife in the world.
I know, like,
yeah, Damien.
You're never there in the spring.
Pam's like the HR department. And, yeah. You know, I'm like just the guy who... Somehow
we should have brought her in too, Pam. You're right. That's what we should have known.
That's a whole other podcast.
But yeah, back to more seriously, Damien's credentials are amazing. Yeah. I mean, he is.
And is this his full time job?
Yes.
Oh yes, okay. Absolutely. And
kids love him.
Kids love him. Parents love him. He is supportive. He's knowledgeable. He is organized. I mean, we do now like 130 plus broadcasts a year. Wow. And you got to remember that we don't just do them out of like the gym and leave our stuff and put a sheet over it. So we break that down, we put it away, we move it up to like Tiger Hall at Ridgefield, or we move into the auditorium if we're doing a chorus or a band concert. And then, you know, the next day you might be at the town hall doing the Nutcracker. So, I mean,
that
it's
so cool.
You know, we've done things like Darian's Got Talent.
How do you pick these, by the way? I would think as you guys are growing, you have more reach, that this would become harder and there'd be like a bit like everyone would want you for their programs. Like, this is so stupid. The elementary schools have different like sings and shares. Like,
and you do it all for free?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we have charged for certain things. DCA
right, the
has
Global
their
speaker series.
Local Neighbors Global Players speaker series.
Yeah, that's a great series.
So we've broadcast that for them through COVID was when that started. Mm-hmm. And then now they obviously can have an audience back, but they still like to have it recorded. In some places, and then going forward, you know, we're now at the point where we really want to form partnerships and have other people other than the Darien Foundation and the Darien Athletic Foundation footing the bill. So we're embarking on, you know, endowing DAF Media. That's going to be a more of a longer term effort. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be reaching out to local businesses and stakeholders in the community who may be interested in supporting us. And then we're also going to be reaching out to parents of people who just enjoy DAF Media, whether it's because they're watching their kids on the network or because their kids, you know, work on DAF Media, or they just happen to think it's a good idea.
So Liz, you mentioned how do you pick, you know, you mentioned elementary school. Now we obviously our students, they're also students as well, so they wouldn't be able to do that, but we have floated the idea of trying to select and bring in a little bit more of the youth groups. So whether it be like a one-off, is it the end of the year or lacrosse, or is it the J.R. Shane, which is always fun and cute to watch?
Is it
you know, DJFL cheerleaders? Is it, you know, a soccer, like maybe a one-off, to try to sort of experiment a little bit in terms of the youth sports to kind of show them, you know, what we are, who we are. And we do the town things as well. I think we've done something for Parks and Rec down at Weed Beach. Weed Beach Fest, we've done
Y Hoops.
Y Hoops. Oh, cool. Right.
The Y Hoops is always a crowd pleaser, because, you know, the high school seniors oftentimes coach those teams of the juniors and seniors. And so it, like when you're young, it's the dads. But once you get to high school, there are no more practices, or there's no practices. They're all games. And so we kind of ham it up with them. And yeah, we interview the coaches who are all, you know, in jacket and tie, and say, you know, you're down by 15 at the half here. What's the second half going to have to look like? And they're all serious. And
oh, that's so cute.
And the kids come out in droves to support the teams. And
oh,
so
that's adorable.
So it's kind of, you know, just for yucks, because it's just a local, you know, they're all buddies.
Community building activity. I love
right,
it.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
It's really fun.
Some of the statistics are so fun to see with our broadcasting, to see who's watching. I think we can narrow it down, Bruce, can't wait, to like specific areas. You could see if there are pockets of alumni, like for the Turkey Bowl, for instance.
Yeah.
What a draw,
oh,
right?
Sure.
That, you
like
see
how many
that
views does that get?
It gets a lot. I mean, there's like 40,000.
Wow.
At, you know, by a couple weeks after the Turkey Bowl, because you get live and then you get replays.
Sure.
But
what's the biggest the most popular event that you've had?
Well, the Turkey Bowls typically get the most.
I was going to take a guess, or have Taylor take a guess to what she thinks it is.
Yeah, I would have said the Turkey Bowl.
Oh, I would have said the lacrosse championships. What are you thinking?
I was going to say, I thought maybe it was a New Canaan Darien lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Ice
hockey and ice hockey, or something like a championship game, because people sorry, Bruce. I ask you a question.
He's got the answer.
No, I do know the answer.
Suspense.
But it's you're all right. There's all the answers are correct.
And we're beautiful too.
We all get a trophy.
Brunswick Darien boys lacrosse gets a ton of views.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Jen's alma mater, St. Anthony's in Long Island, St. Anthony's Darien boys lacrosse.
Yes.
Those two get so many replays.
Wow.
And there's been some epic battle. I mean, Darien beat Brunswick for the first time ever I think they've played 5 or 6 years now. And you know, and Brunswick obviously draws from all over the place. So that was special. And then there was one time I think it was our first year in production, and we almost had like a tornado basically at the center oval. So the sky just kept getting darker and darker, and it was really dry. It hadn't rained for, you know, weeks, and all of a sudden there were these like
black
circular
spinning,
you know, cylindrical dust clouds moving around, like something's up. And
Daff Media, no rain nor shine nor cloud, like, you will be
it
there.
Was really funny. We had
and
one
you
of
captured
our
it?
I think it's our best, it's our funniest audio snippet ever in the entire time, because it was so we always would try to have a guest announcer. So there was this guy from Long Island who was on the call from St. Anthony's, and he had a really thick Long Island accent. And
the one Jen's trying to hide this whole time.
Exactly.
And so our kids said, well, wow, it's really kicking up here. I don't know. We may have a storm. And the guy said, yeah, kicking up like Auntie M. it was just so funny.
How do we find this? I want to go watch
it's
it.
It's a good one.
It's a YouTube channel.
10 seconds later, the skies opened and everybody was running for the cars. But the game kept going because there was no lightning.
We were holding the tent down on all sides of the tent to continue to film.
Can we find this on the web? Like, can we still go back?
And then we lost our internet connection, so the stream went down.
Oh my gosh.
But we were recording, so it was like the last 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. It was the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. It was really fantastic.
So how do we find it though?
When it's on our YouTube channel. So basically everything's on our YouTube channel.
Right, but like when was this or what do we look up?
That was probably, it was either the first season, which was spring of 18, for would have been the first year, right, or spring of 19. I think it was spring of 18.
It was a home game.
I think it was spring of 18.
And it was lacrosse.
Boys lacrosse
versus St. Anthony's.
St. Anthony's, yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, you guys did a nice little montage.
I hate to shift gears and be the numbers person, but can you give us an idea? What's your operating budget like every year?
We spend about $150,000 a year, which is a lot of money, but it's also not a lot of money
for what we're doing. For what you're producing. Yeah.
We know some of the area schools and booster clubs that pay $3,500 a game to a production company to come out and do a live stream for their team, where they kind of pass the hat for like typically it would be like a parents on a team saying let's get some of these games done, and they pass the hat and they say okay, we're gonna get 6 games done this year. If you look at it on cost per game, we're just over $1,000 per broadcast if you break it down like that. We have one employee, we have equipment, we have a van, so you may have seen our van around. Yeah. DAF Media. Yeah. We've had some great outcomes. You know, the outcomes for the kids have been fantastic. You know, they're learning about computers and networking and troubleshooting.
Yeah, can you tell me about that? I want to say, what can you, yeah, so the, do you off the cuff of your head know, what's the expression?
Off the cuff of your head.
I was like, wait, stop. off the cuff, know the job opportunities for kids. If you're a parent and you're like, my kid might be interested in this, what can they do?
I mean, absolutely. They can go to college for it. I mean, they can go. We've had a kid go to Syracuse Newhouse School of Journalism and Broadcasting.
But what are the opportunities? It's in technology.
The funny thing is that I think it's so broadly beneficial to a student whether they continue in this world of broadcast or not. Okay. Because you're learning things like, I mean, just the confidence, the deadlines, the organization. I mean, when you look at, like, we're doing live broadcasts, the importance of prioritization, being on time, organization, like when you need something because it's going to start to rain or it got windy, you need to go to someplace and find it. And so like when we teach the kids, well, you can't just like shove it in a duffel bag at the end.
Yeah, everything, take care of it.
Everything has its own place. And so, you know, and then the computers with networking and, you know, everybody has like the person that they go to for their Wi-Fi problems. But like we use computer networking is what all of our sound and our video travel on both internally on our local area network, and then it goes through the router back out to ultimately YouTube that people see it on. So
so they're getting a full education in journalism, communication, media. They're not coming on and just doing camera, just doing the announcement. They're doing all of it and having to learn.
Yeah,
gap that I was missing.
They get certified for various pieces of what they are kind of authorized to work on.
By Damien?
Yeah, so because we use the kids, they sign up to work on a broadcast because we have a schedule out there, and we use something called Sub It Up. The Post 53 uses When We Work, and so it's just like an online scheduling piece of software, and so you can only sign up to be the instant replay operator if you've been certified by Damien to say, oh, this kid
makes sense
has been certified. Otherwise it won't let you sign up to be that spot.
I love the way you've built this. That's so good for the kids.
And by the way, if there's someone listening and they're like, we want to get our sport on there, I imagine it's very competitive. How does that process work? How do you pick and choose?
Well, honestly, we try. There's certain sports that we really owe an apology to because we haven't done, but there's very few. We've done wrestling. We've done swimming. We've done gymnastics. We've done golf. Golf was a real tall order.
Yeah, we've done skiing.
I haven't done skiing, but
I thought Damien went up and did skiing.
He may have. We've done a obviously tremendous amount of hockey, football, lacrosse, volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball.
We try to cover all the sports, you know, and we try to keep it somewhat equal in terms of how many we're covering, but you might have a broadcast scheduled for that day and it was postponed or something happened, and you know, but there's only one Damien, right? And there's only so many things that can be covered. You know, we do try to keep it equal.
But to answer your question, I mean, again, you it's a small town. You probably know one of us, whether it's Damien or any of us. But there's also that, you know, media@darianaf.com, which is, you know, the say anything to us. We're happy. We want to do more. One of the things we're trying to figure out is, you know, we can't do every like Veterans Day share at the elementary school, but those are some great things.
That
I remember
stuff is,
you know,
gold.
It's like you want
to run the Veterans Day program in Oxford for years.
I mean, it's amazing, and I used to go to them all the time, and it's like, but there's just only so much that we can do, but like we want to hear ideas, and if we can do it, we'll do it.
So is it deafmedia.org? What's your main website?
DAFmedia.org. Yeah.
DFMedia.org. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. So what's next for the Darien Athletic Foundation in general? What's the next white whale here?
Well, you know, we a couple of ideas have come to us. We haven't solidified anything. It's, you know, we've spoken to the administration. They've got some things that they'd like us to possibly take a look at. There are some town opportunities they've also asked us to look at. So I think we're trying to figure out what makes the most sense. You know, after that last big fundraise we did, it was sexy, right? Because, you know, if you think about it, Fields, it
cool
affected
stuff.
So many people in our town. You know, what's the next thing that's going to really affect so many folks?
Are we going to turf Middlesex?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine.
Great. That's a great soccer field. Yeah. Soccer players like to play on
it
grass.
It gets closed a lot.
Yes, it does. In fact, that was part of the statistics. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know that. But... No, we're not really sure yet. We're trying to, you know, come up with some ideas and figure out where the passion is. Is it exciting enough for people to get behind? Because, you know, to fundraising is hard. You know, it really is hard to do. And if it's not passionate for people, you really just start to spin your wheels, you know. And it has to make sense for the community. It has to make sense for us, for the town.
Size of the project. I mean, to build an ice rink or to build that's like so many millions of dollars that you're talking
about
and stuff like that. So we have to be careful about the size, the scope and say, you know, does it fit our charter? We're capital projects. We, aside from DAF Media, which is an ongoing, you know, it's a going concern, but, I think, you know, we've got a lot, you know. I think podcasts are the best. Thank you guys for having us on here today. You've had, you know, such great ones. I've been listening to them as I've been driving. And so,
thank you.
You know, and I know young people are like gaga over podcasts. So, you know, I would just say to the young people of Darien, if you've taken the time to listen to this podcast, you know, we are the Darien Athletic Foundation. We have done some great things. We hope to do more great things with your help. And, you know, we will be here at the high school when your kids get here. And we can't wait to make more broadcasts, better broadcasts with your kids. There's something for everybody in Darien. So, we're just excited. We're just excited to be here. And we just hope that we can get your support to keep going and doing more things, like we've been trying to do.
Stay tuned, right? Once we figure some things out.
I just wanted to take a minute to thank you guys so very, very much for all you've brought to this community. I mean, the number of lives and families and children's experiences that you've touched and impacted in such a positive way is like overwhelming. So thank you. I'm so proud to have you on here. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you for having us. We love what you guys are doing also. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you guys are great. It's, you know, I think we wouldn't be doing it. It's kind of, most of the time it's a labor of love, I would say, but it's, we're pretty committed to it. And, everybody's been so great and helpful. And, it's a great town. I, you know, chip in, both help out, whether it's monetarily or not. it's a small town. It's a great town. Let's keep it that way.
Awesome.
That's awesome. And that's a wrap.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome.